This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. It is me, Mraz, with Bogus, DA off vacationing here, or doing the best he can to find a way to vacation in what is this year, 2020, where, you know, all bets are off, the summer's a little different. But one thing that will go on, Andrew Bogus, is the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. It will look a little different this year. We will not be at the corner of Surf and Stillwell, unfortunately. There will be no spray zone. We will have a private location with COVID-19 safety measures in place. And obviously, this will be a big deal still on TV. It'll be noon Eastern on ESPN. Our personal favorite guy on the DA show in Major League Eating is Eric Badlands Booker. Badlands, for those of you maybe just tuning in, maybe still newer to the show in this time slot, Badlands has a place in DA lore. No matter where we've been, when we were on the overnights, Badlands Booker would come into the studio on the overnights and do hot dog eating with us. He crushed me in a challenge, sprayed Gatorade all over the place. He has absolutely destroyed me when I've eaten against him. Then we've had rally eating against him another year. When we worked evenings, he came in. We've done middays. He's gone down to the streets outside the studio to come in. Whenever we need Badlands Booker around this time, he is always there. He was on just a couple months ago when DA was still in, obviously, and discussed his venture into what would be the quarantine challenge. And here he is on the verge of another 4th of July. It's kind of like when you think the Super Bowl, you think of Tom Brady, right? Well, when you think Major League Eating, we personally always think of Badlands Booker sitting there with his shirt drenched, headphones on, ready to go, and he's with us today. Booker, what's going on? It's Sean, it's Andrew. DA's out, but we still wanted to have you on, man. I hope all is well.
Hey, Sean, what's good, man? Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Of course, man, of course. So before we get into maybe you on a personal level and your preparation for the contest. So this contest is going to look different, obviously. Everything in 2020 has looked different. From what I'm gathering here, there will be several mini contests to keep up with social distancing. So I think I misinterpreted this when I was going through the notes last night and Bogus kind of tipped me off to it. Instead of doing like you guys did with the quarantine challenge, you will be with other eaters in a private location?
Right, right. It's going to be like you know, it's, instead of having like 15 people at the table, you know, we're going to have it, you know, at a, you know, at a secret location. There's going to be five eaters, you know, five for the women. You know, they get to eat first, like around 12:20, and then, you know, the men eat at 12:40. It's going to be, you know, five men, five women. And yeah, it's a little, you know, bust down because of COVID, but, you know, we're just glad that it's still going on.
Yeah, and not to make light of the situation, but it's kind of cool that this is at a secret location. You guys are being snuck in and out. We don't know where it is. There's a little different intrigue to the event this year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I miss, you know, that it's not going to be like how we usually do, you know, an average of like 40,000 fans at the corner of Surf and Stillwell, and you know, we can eat and everybody's out there and doing my little rapping, you know, but you know, we got to be safe. So, but I'm just glad it's going on, and you know, the ingestion engine will be primed and ready in 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 days is incredible. It's something we always look forward to on the 4th of July, and Eric Badlands Booker with us on the show. So Booker, when it comes to this event, one of my favorite parts of it is obviously when George Shea grabs the mic and we do the introductions, and I think it loosens everybody up, it loosens the crowd up, and it's a lot of fun, you know, the little stats that get thrown in there, who's eating what, the nicknames that get thrown in there. Because we're doing this at a secret location, are we going to lose that part? Are we not going to get the introductions like we normally get?
Oh, no. George is going to be up there with the straw hat and the blazer doing what he does best. He's going to, you know, and maybe a little different because, you know, he's going to be there, you know, but he's going to bring the same intensity like there's 50,000 people in the, you know, in the stands, even though there's going to be no stands. But he's going to, but you know, for the millions of people that's watching on ESPN, he's going to be doing that. And we're also, you know, this is the first this year we're releasing a music video for my intro. You know, me and George filmed it last night at Coney Island. It's going to be dope. I mean, I'm probably going to release it in about like a half hour. So, you know, I'll send you the link and, oh, man, it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot this year.
Now, what about actually competing? Do you think it's going to feel different, be weird, or are you going to miss like the motivation of the fans and the crowd and the atmosphere when you guys are eating inside almost alone on Saturday?
No, because we know that, you know, the ESPN crowd is global, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, millions of people are going to be watching at home. So we're going to bring the same intensity, you know, because, you know, even though we won't see the fans in front of us, we know that they're there because everyone's watching on ESPN. So it's going to be the same intensity. You know, we're going to bring it just like we usually do. And, you know, it's going to be a little different, but, you know, we're going to bring the same intensity because, we know that, like I said, people are watching at home and we're not going to, you know, let the fact that there's not no one there in front of us, you know, deter our, you know, our drive, you know what I'm saying? So it's still all good. No worries.
So Badlands, you know, obviously you've seen me. I've eaten hot dogs against you in studio. I'm a portly fellow myself, but you know, when it comes to, you know, my favorite athletes per team of all time, right? Like my favorite Yankee of all time is Derek Jeter. My favorite Ranger of all time is Mark Messier. My favorite major league eater of all time is you. And it was really great to be able to eat against you. So you know that on the show, we always are pulling for you. You're our guy. We have you on every year. You're a DA show favorite. Our listeners love you. But I cannot lie to you. There were a lot of listeners and myself. We were very disappointed with the amount of baloney and the time you were able to put down in the quarantine challenge. We were psyched when we had you on. You talked about how basically you were forgetting to have an Admiral's feast during the week, and then you came up short, and I'm very worried about that from perspective of not having fans in front of you because you were in your own home. And I do have to ask Booker, you know, you're seeing obviously Joey Chestnut obviously do this, Gideon OG had his big numbers. Do you think maybe you need to rethink your strategy or something is awry to get you back in the upper echelon here and get you the motivation we need, because we need to see the best of Badlands Booker on Saturday?
Yeah, well, that was like a first for all of us, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I guess that's kind of like the training round, you know, just to, you know, to see how things is gonna go in, you know, like, you know, during COVID situation. But I'm gonna do much better than I did during the quarantine challenge, okay?
Okay.
So you know, I'm definitely used to, you know, eating in that sort of sense now. So, you know, there's not going to be no baloney repeats, okay? It's going to be on the fourth. No worries.
So I guess along those lines, you can bet, people can bet on this for the first time ever this year, at least in New Jersey, I know you can. And I like the bet of the field. Not betting for Joey is a waste of money. I want to put some money on the field, whether it's you or somebody else. Convince me to actually put that money down because one of you guys can finally knock Joey off here.
Yeah, you know, it's in the framework of competition, you know, anything can happen, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, Joey could have a bad day, you know, Joey could, he could still have, like, because you remember in the quarantine challenge, he had to, like, he had a rough start, but then, he prevailed at the end. So you never know, that's the beauty of competitive eating. You never know what can go on, at a given time. So yeah, I mean, I feel free to place your bets. It's all good.
Badlands Booker is our guest here on the DA Show. So a little bit of a follow-up to what I just asked you previously about obviously coming up short in the quarantine challenge and you saying, well, first of all, I love two quotes here you gave us. Number one, there ain't going to be no baloney repeat, and you guarantee sort of Joe Namath-esque a much better performance than you put forth there. So then I must ask you as we lead up to this, you are probably a creature of habit. We know that there have been, in the days that have led up in past 4th of July eating contests, you've had no problem coming in and slinging a bunch of dogs down your throat and making a mess of the studio, and we love you for that. Have you thought about, and if you have thought about and have not, are you looking to change any of your days leading up to the contest strategies, I should ask you? And if you're not, have you at least thought about that, or is it just what's worked for you in the past, you're going to keep with what you've done?
Well, I'm gonna keep what worked for me in the past, and it's like what I have been doing is just put it in overdrive since we got the green light to go, So
right.
I'm just gonna come there hungry and focused and just just try to get my jaws open wider than usual and just get those dogs down, I'm gonna bring the beats. I'm gonna bring my four, tenants. I'm gonna bring my stomach capacity, my strategy, my stamina, and focus. I'm gonna be hungry and focused on the fourth. So, that, you just gotta see. Don't worry, no worries at all.
No worries for sure. So, for people though that are not fully familiar with all this, what are the next 2 days like for you prepping for the actual competition Saturday?
Well, I'm going to do a lot of press and stuff and a lot of, stuff for ESPN. But as far as on the eating side, right now I'm just going to start just doing meal replacements, saying eating like, definitely no, nothing to eat, in the morning of the fourth, just probably drinking, some orange juice, just to keep, my stamina up, but, just trying to get empty and ready for the contest, because, I don't want to have nothing in the tank when I need to fill it up with hot dogs, okay? It's just like, when the light comes on in the car, I want to be right where the light comes on, the gas light comes on, when I'm just about on E, so I can just go fill up, So on 12 noon or the 4th of July, I'm filling up the ingestion engine with some premium Nathan's hot dogs, and I'm going for the win. Or going for the personal best, actually.
All right, I like that. I like that. So, as Bogus mentioned earlier, I believe tomorrow we're going to have somebody on from DraftKings talking about all the odds here that goes with it, and Bogus is looking to maybe play the field. So outside of you, who obviously we'll be rooting for, give us the eater you think besides you has the best chance of upsetting Joey Chestnut on Saturday.
Wow, there's a lot of good eaters coming. Okay, you got Nick Rary, who was pretty good, and then you got George Chigger, who was good too, but it's like I think we may have to play a little, get into Joey's head the night before or something. I don't know. but we got some good eaters that's coming in. So, things are a little different, And it can be anybody's game on the fourth. So you just have to, stay tuned. But I know Nick Rary is good and George Chigger is good, So we'll just see what happens.
How will we know that you're locked in, that you, things are going well for you Saturday? What is there a pace that we should keep an eye on, your body language? How are we going to know that you're feeling good and things are going well for you during this on Saturday?
When you see me eating to the beat, when you see me, bobbing my head at about 100 beats per minute, and it's just, and I'm in a rhythm. where it's just whatever's in the headphones going boom, boom, boom. And I'm translating to eat, 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 eat. And I start moving through the hot dogs. If I move through the hot dogs, if I get like I say about, you know, my first 10 hot dogs within the first minute, oh, man, you know, I'm going straight to the moon, okay? that's when you'll know.
Straight to the moon. All right, Booker, so one last one for me then. You talk about going to the beat and eating to the beat. I do have to ask, you just promoted that a little bit later today. You filmed a music video that's going to be coming out. That'll be your intro. You filmed it with George Shea. Can the listeners get a couple bars for the song that's going to be in the music video here? Can you got something for us?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just want to let you know that, you know, I'm the baddest man from the Badlands. Last man standing in the last stand. The big man, feeling fans, Mike in my right hand, out hand, left hands, waving to the fans. Oh, man, you just got to wait, and you got to see it. You got to see it. You got to see the videos.
I love it. So where can we find the video? On any of your social media channels?
Yeah, you know, it'll be on my Badlands Chugs, you know, YouTube channel. It'll be on the Major League Eating's YouTube channel. And, you know, so, but, you know, I'll probably go release it in about a half hour on, you know, my YouTube channel, Badlands Chugs.
Badlands,
right up on there.
Badlands Chugs, music video coming out. We are rooting for Badlands Booker. We are almost 48 hours away from a private location, much like UFC's doing Fight Island. We're going to have the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest at a private location. It'll take place. It'll be the 4th of July. And Badlands Booker has absolutely vowed, you have vowed, there ain't going to be no baloney repeat. You guarantee a much better performance this time around. You are going to go
Most
at this
definitely.
And go after it. All right. So
Most
listen.
Definitely.
We are. We have the Nathan's obviously hot dog eating contest. They're going to feature an annual donation of 100,000 Nathan's Famous hot dogs to Food Bank for New York City. They're dedicated to raising funds for food banks and to raising awareness of food bank needs. Major League Eating and individual leaders will make donations to food banks and use the contest as a platform to highlight the work of this organization. Badlands, we know it's a great cause and also a great fun event every single year. It will look a little different. We're hoping by next year we're back to the corner of Surf and Stillwell, mm-hmm. but we're looking forward to the music video. Listen, you know you always have a place and a home here on this show, whether DA is in, he will be in the next time you're on this show, I'm sure, whether he's taken off and we're just here doing the show. Our fans love you. Our listeners love you. So know that when we question, maybe if you need to change a little something to get an edge, we want you to win. You're our guy. So let's go crunching and munching, Admiral's Feast, whatever you got to do to prep yourself. We need the best of you on Saturday.
Don't worry. I'm going to bring it. Okay? I'm going to bring 110%, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm crunching, I'm munching, I'm going through those Nathan's hot dogs like nobody's business. And, oh, man, I'm going to come there hungry and focused. You best believe that.
All right, Badlands, good luck on Saturday. Thanks for coming on, man.
All right, thank you. I appreciate you always.
Take care. Eric Badlands Booker. All right, so look, am I sitting down like I'm on 60 Minutes Bogus? No, but I think I got my point across to Badlands there that something needs to change. And I don't know that that's a Messier in 94. I don't know if that's a Namath ahead of Super Bowl III. But what we did get there is a, quote, ain't going to be no baloney repeat. Do you feel more confident in Badlands, or do you think he still doesn't get it following that interview?
No, I'm more confident in him for sure. I think as he said, like he needed the dry run of that initial quarantine challenge to kind of reset everything. So I think lesson learned. The problem though then is Joey Chestnut. So, you know, Badlands could still do his personal best. I mean, he could be peak Badlands on Saturday, but the way Chestnut rolls, it might not matter. So like that's the problem. Like you can love Badlands, but do you love him enough, and can he get to the level where he actually can challenge Joey Chestnut here? Because no one's done it for more than a decade now.
Yeah, it's been a long decade. This is now that Tom Brady has left the Patriots, Joey Chestnut on top of the hot dog eating contest game is the best dynasty in the dynasty I think we're all sick of the most. So, look, Badlands Booker's our guy. I can only hope that he really takes this. I mean, he's got to take this seriously, Bo, because he's really got to take this seriously.
But on the other hand, how seriously can you take crunching and munching hot dogs in like a 10-minute window? I mean, Like, the whole thing is ludicrous at face value, which is why it's amazing. But yeah, at some point, you need to put your foot down and actually, like, prepare and have a strategy and do it. And I think he's learned his lesson. He's a competitor. I'm sure he was embarrassed by the quarantine challenge, and he's going to be better on Saturday.
And we will break it just a second, but I do have to just add, I have to admit, I didn't like the sound of him and Commissioner George Shea doing a music video yesterday. I don't think his head is focused. He keeps talking about hungry and focused and bogus. I just don't know how focused you could be if, you know, 3 days before the contest, you're so focused that you're filming a music video. I mean, can we just stop eating for 3 days and just get hungry and figure this out?
Maybe that's how he did it. Maybe he killed some time not eating by filming a music video.
I don't know. I don't like the sound of this at all. It sounds to me a lot like the Jaguars have to go to the AFC title game. Their priorities are all out of whack, and I think he's so focused on this music career that it's just – I mean, he's promoting the music video coming out. He's so focused on this video. I don't know. I don't know if the focus is going to be there. I'm worried.
Take a deep breath. He's locked in. He did it. He took care of it early in the week. He's now in the window. These last 48 hours are key. He'll do a couple more interviews today, like he said, but that he's locked in from an eating perspective. He's now in the zone for Saturday. He got it out of the way early. If he was doing this Friday night, totally different even tonight, Sean, different conversation. But it's done. It's coming out in a half an hour or so now, and then it's just pure competition the rest of the way until Saturday now for him.
We can only hope. All right, we come back. Rick Pitino predicts maybe a January start for college basketball and why that makes a lot of sense. Wow, Rick Pitino making sense for the first time in 5 years. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. It's Mraz and Bogish in for DA. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Well, there you have it. You had your Badlands Booker interview we had teased throughout the week. And our poll question at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter: will Mraz motivate Badlands Booker to win this year's Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest? I, Bogish, after that, would still lean no. I am very concerned, as we just mentioned, with the very much music careers going on. I've gotten some texts and tweets that a lot of people are already craving hot dogs now, so maybe he's motivating other eaters to go out and get that.
Man from the Badlands.
How many hot dogs will you have this weekend, Bogish?
Fair question. I could definitely have two a day starting tomorrow because that's the base amount. You can't just have one.
Sure.
But I only have one like actual set of plans, and that's on Saturday. And I don't know the actual the full on menu. Now we had considered eating hot dogs during our conversation with Badlands last week. And then completely forgot until now.
Typical.
And I said that to you like in the break before. I'm like, hey, remember we were going to have hot dogs? And at the moment, there's nothing I wanted less than a hot dog. And this was 22 minutes ago. Now I want hot dogs.
I absolutely do. I think that will be my lunch maneuver as well. I'm big. I heard Amy on After Hours right beforehand. She was reading stuff on hot dog toppings, I guess, with, you know, the tweets, what's your best hot dog topping? And she had said that she had never heard, I believe this is the quote, of coleslaw on a hot dog, where that, to me, Bogus, is actually my favorite thing to put on a hot dog. And I couldn't believe, do people not know about that, not do that? Forget the relish and the pickles, that the cold mayo vinegar-based coleslaw is the best on a dog. I could go for two hot dogs of coleslaw on top of it right now.
Well, I said this to you guys, I think we were discussing Reubens and variations of Reubens, and I said that coleslaw is, to me, the most underrated condiment going. It's great on any sandwich, a hot dog as well. I feel like, though, that the hot dog thing might be new-ish, so I want to give her a pass on that one. I don't know that everybody, like, that seems to... I've had that at, like, fancy hot dog shops. Like, I don't know if that's, like, you're not getting that at a ball game. So, like, you need to have gone to a place that makes...
Shops.
Yeah, there's like fancy gourmet like hot dog and sausage shops. No, absolutely. There was a great one next to Barclays Center in Brooklyn that no longer exists, which is sad.
How great could it be? You know, one thing I never understood about the hot dog itself, right? Whenever we think of the summer, we think of hot dogs and hamburgers. Why is it, except for maybe like a Sonic does this, I know like there's a place in on Long Island called All American that does it, but why is it that like your base famous fast food places don't offer hot dogs? I'm talking your McDonald's, your BK's, your Wendy's. Wouldn't that always be something if you already offer hamburgers? Shouldn't hot dogs go hand in hand with that?
I mean, and they just spin on those little grills, so that right. they're almost no main. You just throw them on. They just stay there for forever. It's a fair question. I wonder if when all those places started, they were just like, listen, we're not going to bother with Nathan's. Like, Nathan's has figured this out.
That's a good point.
And that's Nathan's thing, and we're leaving it alone. There's a couple of other, you know, well-known hot dog chains, and they just thought that was their domain. We're doing hamburgers. They've obviously sprinkled in some chicken and fish after that. You know, and don't forget, too, there's some weird, not weird, but like we live in one part of the country. In other part of the countries, like McDonald's has things that we would never expect them to have here. Mustard. Like McDonald's has like fajitas sometimes. Like there's random stuff that they sprinkle in. So maybe somewhere one of those places has hot dogs, but I've never seen it. And it makes sense. I mean, why would you mess with the perfection that is Nathan's?
I hate to get too much down the hot dog drain here, but all I would say is Nathan's hot dog is great. But, I mean, Bogish, let's face it, there are a lot of hefty men in America, and I guess there are hefty females as well in America, that when they roll up to the old drive-thru, right, and it doesn't matter what drive-thru you're going to, because I'm not going to discriminate. I love them all, right? It depends what I'm in a hankering for. But I will always pivot. It's almost like a quarterback drops back. He has his, obviously, his number one and number two options, but then eventually he's got to dump it off to the running back, the fullback, maybe a tight end in the flat. That's how I am when I pull up to a drive-thru, and I do not have the ability to just order, hey, straight up, here's whatever meal I'm ordering that comes with French fries and drink, and then not add something to that. I don't have the willpower to do that. The invention of the dollar menus or the 99-cent menus and all these were a downfall to me because I always looked at it as like that was going to be my treat for the ride home. And if you were to tell me that for $1.50, $1.50, I could get some kind of dog at one of these places, I'm going to go dog. I'm going to get a hot dog anytime. And there's a lot of fatties like me, both male and female, that would absolutely do that. And I think they're missing the market on cheap dogs.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised that you would prefer a cheap dong at some point during the day just to add on to the meal. I mean, and it is,
I mean,
as always,
$1.50 dong, little ketchup packet, and just
you
push
gotta
it
do
right
it.
Down your throat.
Right, whether you like it or not, you got to do it. And I get your point, but it's funny to me that like the treat of like say Wendy's is adding on a hot dog, not the treat of the Baconator. And the bacon fries and like the large Coke that needs to be topped off by a treat of a hot dog, preferably with some coleslaw as my reward on my way home from my healthy dinner.
If you show me the person in America that goes to a Wendy's, let's say, and doesn't after their meal say, you know what, give me a junior bacon cheeseburger, or goes to a McDonald's and goes, you know what, don't give me the snack wrap, or goes to a Burger King and goes, you know what, I know I already got fries, but don't give me the onion rings. And I will show you somebody who's frankly just un-American. We talk about a lot of what's American and what's not. You always get the extra item. And if dongs were on the menu, I'm going to dong away. I'm sorry. So that's where I would stand. And with that,
give me a couple dongs right in my throat.
I love it. And with that, I think we should get to your headlines.
Yeah, why not? They're sponsored by Ace Hardware, and maybe reluctantly. Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint, which means premium quality paint, and Ace's award-winning service are now just around the block. If you want a new look, look no further than Ace. So MLS may be living the NBA's worst nightmare at the moment. Their tournament begins next week at Disney, and FC Dallas is reportedly dealing with as many as 10 COVID-19 positives. 6 are confirmed. The Athletic says 3 more players and a coach tested positive yesterday 8 of the 10 would have come from after the team arriving at the MLS hotel at Disney. Now, in the NBA, the Nets are having their issues before leaving for Florida. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant have been out injured for a while now. Wilson Chandler has opted out of Orlando for family reasons. DeAndre Jordan is staying home after testing positive. And Spencer Dinwiddie is uncertain because he has the virus, too. All of that has actually led to people actually wondering if the Nets should even bother going south. Staying home, though, is not an option, said GM Sean Marks yesterday.
That's never even been a discussion. I think, look, we have a job to do. Again, we have to bring a team to Orlando. We will bring a team.
There's a new trick.
Wow, cuts off midway through, Bokish.
The cut just stopped by itself. I'm not touching anything. There's a new one. Add that to the list. We got a new one.
We got a new trick. I will, just to finish Sean Marks' point there, you know the Nets have lost everybody when even our resident Brooklyn Nets insider, if you will, Billy Giacalone, has had it, is not even excited for the Nets reboot. I talked to Billy yesterday. We taped the PGP after the show, and Billy was the associate producer yesterday, and we've often talked about him as the big Net fan, and there are quite a few Net fans, myself, Mikey B, Mike Piseglia, who handles the Zach Gelb show and such. Billy Giacalone is a guy who, like, could care less if football ever comes back, baseball, hockey, needs the Brooklyn Nets. I talked to him yesterday. Once DeAndre Jordan and Spencer Dinwiddie now, after what happened with Durant and Kyrie, he went, look, honestly, there's no point in the last 8 games. I just want to root for the Lakers because of Kobe. I said, excuse me, Billy? You have been the guy I would think that would be, like, basically already ordering a Tyler Johnson jersey to get through these last 8 games of whatever mishmash Sean Marks puts together just so the Nets could putter to the finish line, and they've lost you with the coronavirus? Yeah. If they've lost Billy, Sean Marks, maybe you shouldn't send a team down there.
Yeah, I would have suspected Billy to be writing a Dave Shepard-like email on the pluses of John and Musa getting extra minutes down in Orlando, not giving up on the Nets altogether. But, I mean, the whole conversation is insane. Like, the Nets, what, 4 of their, you know, their 2 best players, clearly. Then Dinwiddie's their best player left. And then Jordan is useful and Chandler's a key cog. It's so bad. People actually asked Sean Marks yesterday, have you thought about not going? As if they could just go, you know what, we're going to pass. Right, Send the Hornets instead.
You know, we made the joke about the person in Florida, Mark Moses, asking me too many flag football questions. In flag football, we've had this scenario. We've showed up, woken up on a Sunday morning, and the other team just doesn't show up. They've decided they've drank too much the night before. They've done whatever, and we get a forfeit. And I can only imagine basically that opening game, the Magic dribbling around, waiting for the Nets to show up, and just nobody shows. Maybe it's like Caris LeVert didn't get the memo. He walks in. He's like, I don't know where everybody is. All right, yeah, I guess we're forfeiting today. We just walk off the floor like it's an intramural softball team.
Oh my goodness. So, and if you're scoring at home, we now have 3 variations of my computer failing me. One is the cut plays on my end, but not the actual radio end. One is where I hit play and nothing at all happens, which had become my new favorite. And then today, for the first time, Shawnee, we get a cut just stopping in the middle on its own accord for fun and whatever. So this thing is an amazing operation.
But I like that one. I like that version. Of all the screw-ups, that's my favorite version because it's kind of like that game show where they would start singing the song and they would cut it off and you'd have to finish the lyric. It's kind of like if we have that happen, we could even turn it into a bit. Finish the lyric. Finish the cut once it cuts off on Bogus's computer. So we can at least have fun with that one.
Yeah, I like that one. I also, I looked at it as if the computer was making a value judgment on the cut. Like, this is stupid. I'm done. I'm not playing this anymore.
Giacalone's out. We're not playing.
Yeah, exactly. Other NBA notes real quick. The Lakers officially signed J.R. Smith yesterday, and Clippers head coach Doc Rivers says they expect Lou Williams with them at Disney. Williams, one of the players very concerned with playing, taking away from the work off the court that they're doing right now. The NFL reportedly wants to cut the preseason from 4 games down to 2. They need, though, the okay from the Players Association, and that has not come just yet. The players may not want to play any preseason games to further limit their exposure to COVID-19. And speaking of that, whether it's the preseason or the regular season, the NFL may require fans to sign a COVID-19 liability waiver before going into a stadium. Sometime next week, according to The Athletic, teams will get a full proposal from the league for all the different ways and different things needed for reopening stadiums, and this would be part of that. In the end, the decision on letting fans into stadiums around the NFL is most likely going to be left up to the players and their respective cities. Novak Djokovic and his wife have now tested negative for coronavirus. Last week, they tested positive after their tennis tour went a little awry with very little social distancing, other safety measures, and a number of people got sick. But now Mr. and Mrs. Djokovic are said to be healthy. And the PGA Tour's return continues this week with the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Chris Kirk, Maverick McNealy, who's a real person, and Keegan Bradley share the early lead at 3-under par. Ricky Fowler in a group one shot behind them. Shawnee, back to you.
All right. We didn't get to it. When we come back, not only will we get into your sound check, but we do have to get into Rick Pitino predicting a January start for college basketball and why that may be the right way to go. It is Bogus. It is Mraz. It is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, hopefully I'll have better luck with Sean Marks than Bogus did last segment. Sean Marks, the Nets general manager, isn't supportive of all the players who decide they're going to skip the bubble format here in Orlando.
Regarding the particular players that have tested positive and decided to opt out, our job here is to support them and their families in any way possible. And we realize it's completely their decision. This is voluntary. This is by no means mandatory that people show up in Orlando in the bubble. And everybody has their own reasons as to why this may not be a fit for them.
Yeah, if you're a general manager of a team, an owner of a team, a coach of a team, I don't know how you could say anything but that. Even if you felt differently, even if you really felt like, hey, you really should be here, even if that was in your bones, you could never say that, obviously. But look, this is a unique situation. This has been a terrible year with a scary virus, a pandemic that we hope we never have to live through again in any of our lifetimes. And to get sports up and running, nothing was going to be perfect, and this was the bubble format the NBA chose instead of just scrapping the season. And if there are players, for a ton of reasons, some of them legitimate with family concerns, health concerns, others who just aren't comfortable, there's no way to question it. If you don't want to play and you don't want to go to the bubble, this is your pass. I mean, nobody will ever question that, and it's totally understandable, and there are plenty of people feel that way about all of their jobs as places reopen throughout the country. So, Bogus, I have no issue there with Sean Marks.
No, and I long ago decided that because I would probably opt out if I was involved in one of these things, if I was a player. So, like, I will not judge anybody for not playing on any level in any of these sports. Now, they might want to be careful, like we said with Damian Lillard. They might want to give better reasoning out loud, at least, as to why they want to stay home.
Right.
But I still think the decision should be respected, and nobody should be critiqued, hurt, punished in any way for not playing, because that's how serious this is. That's how real this is. And again, personally, I would probably make a similar decision if I was in their place. But we obviously are going to, fingers crossed, play. And at some point in Orlando, we're going to have an NBA champion. We've had this conversation on the show, just how legitimate is winning a title this year. Our good buddy Giannis Antetokounmpo said this, that this possibly would be the toughest NBA title to win in history.
I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, there's going to be, how you guys say, the start next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, this is going to be the toughest, like, championship you could ever win, because, like, the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
Well, Bogus,
Sean, I don't know about the toughest tournament ever to win, but I mean, it's this. None of this will be easy. And I know that clearly competition is different, and there may be strange situations with teams, you know, not having their full complement of players on a given day, whatever it may be, that may make you want to think that this was somehow easier than usual. But being locked inside a place for 50, 60, 70 days, living under a microscope with all these rules, being watched, not having fans there to, like, lift you in a bed in a low moment, I tend to believe that winning any of these events is actually harder than we are giving it credit for at the moment.
So I agree with you. And I know that as sports radio talking heads, we all have a job to do as far as we need content, we need stuff to talk about. And the one of the flavor du jour for a lot of people has been, do you put an asterisk on the NBA or NHL champion or even the Major League Baseball season as well? And specifically, I think Major League Baseball is a little different because it's 60 games and we might get playoff teams who we know wouldn't have made the playoffs over 162. So I'm going to leave them separate. But from an NBA and NHL perspective, I agree with Giannis with a caveat. I think that when you've taken this much time off from your season ending to this, and you're basically getting an 8-game if you're the NBA warm-up, but still matters for seeding, and then this postseason, you don't have the benefit of being home, and the home court advantage now no longer matters. I absolutely think that this might be the toughest championship to win in both the NBA or NHL ever. I really do believe that. The caveat being, though, if you are Giannis and for whatever reason the stars align in a good way for the team, a bad way I would say, and maybe good way is the wrong word to use, where star players on each team you play in each round end up before you play them testing positive and they clear out and your competition becomes easier than it should have been, then I can entertain the idea of an asterisk champion because we kind of feel like, wow, that would have never really happened another year. But just the mere bubble aspect alone and the mental toughness of it, absolutely, I think this could be the toughest championship in NBA history to win. And with that, we go to the golf world. Bryson DeChambeau, the scientist. We think Badlands Booker isn't taking the hot dog eating contest seriously. What about his diet?
The scientist.
I would say that in the mornings, I usually have four eggs, five pieces of bacon, some toast, and two protein shakes, two organ protein shakes. And then throughout the course of the day, I'll have, you know, a Go Macro bar here and there. I'll have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll have another protein drink. I'll have at least two protein drinks on the golf course. So every, you know, six holes. So you go, you know, 6-12, and then after the round, I'll have one. After that, I'm snacking when I'm practicing. After, go back to the hotel, eat a dinner, steak, potatoes. Then, and I'll have two protein shakes with it there as well. So, you know, I'm consuming around, I'd say 6 to 7 of those Orgain protein shakes a day now, where I used to be, you know, 2 or 3.
I mean, Bogus, get serious. I like rooting for Bryson DeChambeau because now he holds that scientist lore on the show.
The scientist.
But if he, there's two things.
The
either
nutritionist.
Either he's making this up, which I don't think he is, or he's just a doofus. I mean, I'm sorry. 6 to 7 protein shakes a day. Also, Bryson DeChambeau, you don't look that great. I mean, look at Bryson DeChambeau. It's not as if.
Hold
I look
on
at
a second.
I do not look at Bryson DeChambeau and go, boy, what a hunk, what a fitness model. If you're doing 6 to 7 protein shakes a day and mixing in a peanut butter and jelly with your steak and potatoes, you better be the Incredible Hulk, and he's not. So, look, this is a gross diet I wouldn't even take part in. And also, when you're drinking 6 to 7 protein shakes a day and flexing about it, maybe you should be more of a household name like a Phil Mickelson. That's just me.
Well, okay, let me begin with your visual critique of him. Neither one of us is in position to say anything about anybody else's body. I mean, the dude's jacked. Is he an Adonis? No. Would I sign up to look like him for a weekend? Probably not. But the guy's got himself in shape. It's like the storyline of the tour right now. What I don't understand about this is normally those crazy diets are from like endurance athletes, like whether it's Michael Phelps in the pool or guy, you know, track and field people in general. I don't understand why he needs that many calories when he's not in the weight room 19 hours a day or running in place in between shots on the golf course and carrying his own bag and running to the next hole. Like, he's going to be fat soon, isn't he?
I would think, and I don't like using that word, but yes, you would think. This is a guy just, you know, he's walking the course, he's getting in his carts, and he's doing that. That's not a healthy diet. I needed to hear more vegetables in there. That's too much wheat as well. There's got to be a lot of wheat and protein shakes to go back.
I do love the breakfast sounds great. I mean, not that much eggs, but eggs and bacon and toast, okay. And then you want to throw a smoothie in for lunch as a meal replacement? I gotcha. But how is he having 2 full meals and like 8 protein shakes? It makes no sense.
Nah, it's tough to buy. And again, you should look way better if that's the case. All right, when we come back, We'll get to the Patino story in the list. I know I've teased that a bunch. But also, the NFL making you sign a waiver if you want to go to a game? Why go if that's really the concern? It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.